yard.
And there were grapevines. I remember the grapevines.
Well, at the foot of the lot were grapevines, and his big old garage that he never used, you know, it was a workshop up above that. The grapevines were down there, and in the yard was the big cherry tree that you all loved to climb and play in and pick cherries. In the garden there was also a big apple tree, and under the apple
on
tree,
side.
Left Looking side down. As you went down, the apple the tree was side. On the sled.
Okay. And the under cherry that, tree was on the right.
Right. Uh-huh. All the raspberry vines were on under the cherry tree. The apple tree.
Maybe that's where I learned to love raspberries.
Yeah, they were. You picked many of them, I think. And they grew taller than your head. On the right-hand side, he had a strawberry patch first. And then the rest of it was garden. And you could go down there and just scratch a little hole and stick a plant out. You had a nice plant. You didn't have to do anything to it. So that was easy gardening. And he liked to garden. And I liked to play in the dirt. And Blanche didn't go for the gardening very much, but I loved it.
It's interesting. She ended up living on the farm.
On the farm, and me and
in the
Bristol
town.
And Norton and here, there, and the other.
Yeah.
But, boy, they really had gardens on that farm. But that was such a nice garden. And my dad, you had to plant everything by the almanac.
According to the phases of
the
moon.
Yeah. Dark of the moon, you planted things in the ground, the light you planted, I don't know. I don't know that much about the moon. But anyway, that's the way he gardened. I don't garden like that.
Well,
I just
it seemed to have worked.
Oh, it worked for him. He had good gardens.
Yeah.
And so he had a lot of fruit there too. But we had no garden in the courthouse. But finally, we moved back to Grove Avenue. The people would come in, you'd rent, and then you'd have to they'd move out and come back and do the house all over.
Yeah.
He couldn't stand that, so we moved back down there. That pretty big, you remember the porch on the back with the swing?
Yeah.
And the porch on the front with the swing.
Sitting out there visiting with Aunt Aki.
Yeah.
Uncle Chev.
Yeah.
Whoever came by to visit.
Anybody, yeah. I didn't think of calling anybody on the telephone. Like, I visit many on the telephone 2 or 3 times a day, usually.
Yeah.
That's our visiting. But then you just went to see people. And, Robinson's a distant cousin of Dad's lived across the street up in that big double two-story house on the bank. And finally, when Dad got the place, he couldn't mow the yard. Frank came over and did the mowing for him. No, they were so good. But then after Mother got sick, they just couldn't stay there. And she went to stay with Blanche. And then we went down in the summertime. You had a good time on the farm down there in the summertime. I took care of her in the summer. You remember getting in the stall with that stallion?
No, yeah, I do too. Kind of. I remember walking in the down in the woods in the in the pine trees and
the
being up in the apple trees throwing apples at the
the big pond. We tried to keep you all away from the pond, but it was impossible.
Yeah.
The pond was big enough for a boat, you know.
That was spring fed too. Wasn't there spring down there in those
and
woods?
Somewhere in the woods.
Describe the Grove Avenue house. You went in the front door and the living room was on the right.
And the dining room.
And there was a piano and there was this sofa?
This sofa.
And
that chair.
That chair. And it was, and
the
most of the time the door was closed.
Well, the reason it was, we were right up above the railroad.
It was the heat. Oh, it was to keep the dust
out. It was the dirt.
Keep
the dirt from the railroad. We got at that time it was coal-fired engines.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, well, you just have to, we had beautiful hardwood floors and just area rugs.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep those floors in, they had to be kept up when my mother was there. And it was a job. So we didn't use that room too much.
Yeah, but I remember you've got that.
You have the bookcase.
Yeah, I remember, and that the little lame prince was in that bookcase.
Yeah.
And the Blue Window.
Really?
Was another one. It was a novel.
Yeah.
I remember reading was in that bookcase.
Yeah. And I still got. You remember the little house, the little shell house that I used to have little tiny things on the shells.
Big
I don't remember
things.
Now what
I,
the word.
I,
it's,
a
I still
house.
Have it out there. Mother kept little trinkets on one or two of those shells. Blanche and I had a shelf. I believe that's the way it was. And she kept things on the other shelves.
Yeah.
But there was a hall, a narrow hall.
All the way down to
all
the back
the way.
Bedroom.
Mm-hmm. And that back bedroom was the size of the hall and the living room.
It was a big room.
Big room.
Yeah.
And we stayed back there an awful lot.
Yeah.
Mother and Dad's bedroom, because it was hard for her to go up the steps. And then Dad put in a little bathroom.
Yeah,
but
that was not until
a long
time. Yeah.
And it was a big kitchen.
So there was one bedroom and the living room on the right side,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the dining room, and there was a door into the kitchen.
Swinging door.
From
mm-hmm.
the dining room
mm-hmm.
at the back, and
the
big pantry.
Pantry on the end of the porch.
Yeah.
Mother always made bread in there, biscuits and everything.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
cooked it flour and had a big table.
She had a big tin of flour on
yeah.
the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Must have
mm-hmm.
held 50 pounds of
yeah.
flour on, or maybe it held a 100 pound
know.
Sack of flour.
I don't know. It was one almost that big for sugar.
Yeah.
The stairway went in between the dining room and the kitchen, and it was just an enclosed stairway.
Yeah, and there was a door.
Yeah, there was a door
the
at the bottom, and it wasn't too steep. And a great big hall, if you turn to the left, when you went up the stairway. It was a great big hall.
Yeah.
Because there was no room in that end of the house except the bathroom. You turned to the right and was the big bathroom.
Yeah, I remember that bathroom.
Mother even had her washing machine.
There was
up
a
there.
Washing machine and there was a big tub with the cloth feed.
Yeah.
And that stretchy, springy thing that you put soap in that
yeah.
went from one faucet to the other.
Yeah.
And the you went in the door, let's see. You went in the door and there was an access panel to under the eaves because we used to play under there.
Yeah, we called
I don't know if you knew that.
We called them closets, but
okay.
Okay.
And then there was the tub, and then there was the toilet, and then there was the lavatory. Where was the washing machine? It was
set
right there.
Between the toilet and the bathtub. Or maybe
okay.
she put it at the bottom
I
of the bathtub.
I remember it being at the foot of the bathtub.
Yes. But you could put that washing machine up in front of the bathtub.
And
it was a wringer machine.
And run the clothes right into the bathtub
right in.
Where you put bluing in the water
oh,
and
yes.
it was blue to make the white clothes.
You
rinsed white.
Them twice first and then you put them in the bluing water.
Well, I remember the water that
but
was blue.
But there were four of those big closets in each end of the house, you see, outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that end of the house had no room except the bathroom and that big hall.
Yeah, and the wasn't there a big theater chest in the hall?
Yeah.
Something we used to sit on, I remember. And then there were three bedrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
There was a little bedroom with the eaves.
Mm-hmm. Two bedrooms with the eaves.
And, well, one on the front?
One on the back.
And the one on the front was the one that Daddy's theater chest that I have now was in that room. That one, or there was a little theater
no,
chest?
No, you've got Fred's theater chest. I don't know whatever happened to Mother's cedar chest.
Okay, well, there was a cedar chest in that bedroom.
No, it was in that hall.
In the hall?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Just as you turn to the left
something
on the hall.
Between those two windows. What was between
well,
those two
I
windows?
Well, I don't know what was between those windows, because the bed was back the other side.
Yeah.
The headboard of the bed was at the hall.
And then the bedroom at the far end was a big bedroom. Is that where Grandmommy's rope bed was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rope bed with the
mm-hmm.
trundle bed underneath?
Yeah. And you remember that...
That was a big room.
Dad made a mistake in figuring the house. Do you remember that the chimney, the way he had it fixed, the chimney came up through the bedroom there instead of being over at the edge? And you
yeah.
all used to chase each other around that?
Yeah.
And with a big... rope bed was on the right hand side, and then we had a half bed on the other side and had my grandmother's feather bed on it. You all used to play on that feather bed and hide under the other bed on the trundle bed.
Yeah, I remember the trundle bed.
Yeah, you used to hide on that. That front bedroom was Blanche's and the back one was mine.
Yeah. And the front one and the back one were, well, the one that looked over the railroad tracks, that was your room on the back of the house. Uh-huh. That was bigger. A little bit bigger.
I don't know.
The one on the front. I remember the one on the front. It depended,
I guess, on where the bathroom cut off, where the partition was between the bathroom and that room. Yeah, it was a little bit bigger. But those closets were enormous things.
Yeah, I remember playing in that closet in the bathroom.
I expect you've been in all of them.
I'm sure.
In the basement under the house. It was under all the house except a part of the living room. And Dad kept digging on that long after we moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeling that dirt out. Had to get out because he wanted to put a furnace in. We first had a coal stove. I don't think it's
in the
wood.
Bedroom?
In that big bedroom,
downstairs.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then even after he put the furnace in, we had a little stove in the kitchen, a wood stove, to heat the hot water tank. And finally got it connected, but it took some time. And these stools
were in the pantry.
No, they weren't. They were in the kitchen,
Right
in the middle
the
of the floor.
Table.
And then Mother put them in the attic somewhere and bought chairs for the kitchen. And I remember they were painted gray most of
wooden
the time.
Wooden back chairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slats. Pretty things across the back. But she must have put those stools up in that one of those closets.
There was at least one of those in the pantry under that
well,
table
I
in the pantry.
Yeah, probably was.
I distinctly remember one of them being there.
But I was so thrilled to find all four of them because there were on the shore.
Mm-hmm. One for each of you when you were eating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you like living in that house?
Oh, yeah. Grew up with the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you do any work on it? Did Granddaddy was working?
Maybe carry something to him, but not actually work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, he worked. Before we went to work some mornings, he'd work when he came home. Took his time, finished it up like he wanted, or the kind of lumber he wanted to see what went in it and what it was like.
For sure.
It's a good house. But if they've ruined it now.
They enclosed the porch.
Even the front porch. When they enclosed the back porch, it wasn't too bad. And then they built that stairway up to that big room upstairs and made an apartment up there.
Yeah, that.
And then when they sealed in that front porch, I just couldn't take it. That was more than I could stand.
Just stay away.
And the shrubbery, they didn't keep the shrubbery up. Mother had pretty flowers. But I enjoyed the house.
You enjoyed living in
Oh, yes.
Playing with the teachers? Is that when you went motorcycle riding?
That's when I went motorcycle riding.
I bet you didn't tell your mother that.
I was scared to death she would find it out. But because Ernest Brown promised me, he said, now I'll just take you right down around here and, you know, around the schoolhouse and things like that, and then we'll come back. What did he do?
Right downtown. He's
straight to Radford and down Main Street in Radford with me hanging on the back. Tried to hide my face and I know I didn't. That was my first and last motorcycle. And I guess she
Well, one in a lifetime is enough, probably.
But see, we weren't too far from Blacksburg, VPI. And the guy I went with over there, Kirkwood Calhoun, his aunt reared him, and she lived just half a block from the teachers. And so he came over every weekend, or he'd come on Saturday night or Sunday, something. And finally, he got a big old bus. I don't know where in the world it came from. But he filled that up with cadets. Mm-hmm. And come over on Saturday nights. Oh. And we'd go to dances and things. And we had fun. Yeah. We got, some of them were kind of rough. But most of them were nice boys. Kirkwood was. I went with him for a long time. But it was fun. There was always something going on. It was not a dull place like this.
How did Grandma feel about your living away from home?
She didn't care.
She didn't care?
No. But she was happy when I went back and she got sick. Kirkwood's aunt, after Mother got sick, at least 3 times a week, she'd send me a note to school by a little boy that lived next door. Honk when you come by. And when I'd honk, stop the car and honk, she'd come tearing out there and she'd have me a big casserole or something. Mm. Or she'd have a cake bake, or she'd have a whipped cream pie. Oh, Lord. Woo.
Whipped cream pie.
At least 3 times a week, she would have.
How come you didn't end up weighing 300 pounds like Grandmommy Howell?
I don't know. I guess I didn't stay still long enough.
Maybe you were hyperactive like me.
I was pretty active back then.
Yeah, I remember Aunt Blanche being really hyper.
Oh,
she was
yes.
a really hyper person.
She was. Yeah. She was never
more
still
than
a
you.
Minute. Yeah.
More than you were.
Yeah. You couldn't keep her any place. But just like being at Bristol and decided she wanted to go somewhere else, this took off to Bluefield. And didn't know anybody. Dad had a brother out there and she didn't go out there.
Yeah, she probably didn't want to.
You remember us? Was it when you were home? No, it was when Daddy was home. We were going up to the grandmother Howell's old house up on the hill. I don't guess you remember. Betty didn't either, but I wanted to show them her house. And we usually went up a street that went straight by the house, but we went up by Aunt Ocky's house, you know, curled around in their store, you know.
Yeah.
We went out the alley from their store to grandmother's house. Well, we got up there and Judy was driving and I said, Judy, that alley's closed. And she said, no, I don't think it is. And she just turned and started out there and here the briars were coming in the windows,
the
you know, scraping the car. And oh, I don't know how far she went, not too far, and had to back out. And when we went down then and came up the street where grandmother's house was, there was a high rock wall. They had put up at the end of that alley.
Well,
so
it was very,
really changed.
Very far.
And they had changed the house and built onto it and all. And it was real pretty. And kept up.
Now, I remember her being big.
Oh, yeah.
Was she as big as I remember her being?
Yes.
About 300 pounds.
No, the biggest part was her stomach. Mm. But you know, she had 14 children.
Enough to give anybody a
but
big
back
stomach.
Then children didn't live
yeah.
very long.
Yeah, that's why you kept,
only
that's
seven.
Why you had so many.
Yeah, only 7 of them survived. 4 girls and 3 boys.
Yeah,
and
remember
I don't remember
very well.
I don't think I ever saw my grandfather Howell.
Maybe he died young.
I don't know. He died. I guess I was born. I don't know when I was or not. But it was shortly after Mother and Dad, not too long after Mother and Dad, remember that he died. And I don't remember.
And then she just stayed in the house. She lived with somebody else, though. She wasn't in that house.
She
by
lived
herself,
in that house by herself for years and years and years. She was a seamstress.
Mm.
And, you know, the Governor Tyler house, did you ever see the Governor Tyler house? I think he did a big brick house on that place where he turned to go to the office.
Sure
I believe you've
did.
Seen it, but you didn't remember. But Governor Tyler lived there in Radford. And you didn't go to the store and buy clothes.
No,
Radford was
little.
You had the maid. And he'd come up there and grandmother put paper down on the floor. Whoever went. And you'd lie down there and she'd tell you which way to lie and hold your hands like this and she outlined. And then she cut your suit, or that was her pattern. And she'd cut out a suit or a dress or whatever, pants or skirt. I used to get so mad. Mother'd buy a pretty piece of material that I just loved and take it to grandmother. And I'd tell her exactly how I wanted it made. Sometimes I'd draw a picture, you know, I'd want a little yoke in the top of the dress or something, and maybe pleats or maybe gathers or something. And she would invariably stick lace in the neck or on the sleeves or put a pocket somewhere that I didn't want it. She did it like she wanted. And it looked very finished when she finished with it. But I, half the time I'd be so disgusted I wouldn't wear it. But she lived up there for years by herself. And then she finally sold the house and bought a little house in front of Aunt Pearl's.
Maybe that's where I remember.
Yeah, probably so. She had a big stomach. We all used to call her Grandma Fatty. She'd sit on her lap and work dough. Taught Lauren to sleep, I'd better shut up.
That's all right, I'm not going to sleep. Let him go to sleep. Okay.
But she sold Larkin goods. You ordered your baking powders and soda and things like that. Yeah. You could order any kind of kitchen equipment. What was it? Like a Sears Roebuck catalog would be. Just all sorts of things in it. And she had a club. And she had 12 to 14. I think 12 maybe was the most members. And if you bought so many $100 worth of things during the year, you got a premium. And your little bookcase of mother's was a Larkin premium. And when she sold out on the hill and moved in front of Pearl's, she didn't want to fool with the club anymore. That's the only way she sold, was through the club. And they sent her a little store thing that would about fit in over there. And they stocked it every month. She'd write, you know, order. Mm-hmm. And they restocked it. And people would go there and buy their cream and their face powder and whatever they wanted. So she kept that little store as long as she stayed out there in that house.
Yeah.
And then mother and all of them got behind it and pushed until she sold the place, and then she lived with, she lived most of the time with us. But she stayed with Aunt Nina and Aunt Aki.
Yeah.
And Pearl. Yeah, Pearl's still living. She wasn't too well. She liked to stay at our house. Dad petted her and humored her. She'd say, "I don't feel very good this morning, babe." And he'd say, "Oh, I know exactly what you want." And he'd go make her a little hot toddy. And that's all she needed. That took her through the day.
Take care of her. It's a good way to start your day. A hot toddy.
That's the reason she liked to stay at our house.
Well, I remember her being, I remember going to visit her somewhere else. So she must have been staying with Aunt Neely or Aunt Aki or somebody else, because I remember visiting her at somebody else's house.
Well, she stayed with one a while, and she'd get tired, and then she'd go stay with somebody else. And she stayed around with all of them, some, before, see.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fix her hot toddies, I don't think. She was a remarkable person.
Yeah, well, Granddaddy was great a person.
Yeah, he was.
Well, what did you do when you moved to Bristol? You moved into an apartment with another teacher.
Before Fred and I were married.
Yeah.
And, I taught school, and she taught school.
And fling up your heels, and
wild we wore each other's clothes, you know, all these little short dresses and long-waisted things. And
did you have permanents in your hair?
No, I
don't. Then?
No,
Did you have one of those crazy flapper hairdos?
I guess so. I don't remember. I guess so.
I think I've seen a picture. Maybe that was Aunt Blanche.
Yeah, because she had curly hair. I don't know what I did with my hair when I was teaching Bristol, to be frank with you. I'd hate to see a picture of it.
A subject best forgotten.
We got up and if we wanted any breakfast, we kept something there at the house you could nibble on. She went her way and I went my way. And at noon we ate in the cafeteria, took something, whatever you want to do. And in the evening, we went two blocks down the street, Fifth Street, to Mrs. Schubert's house. She ran a boarding house.
And
everybody who was anything ate Mrs. Schubert's.
Well, that was good socialization,
too. That's, well, yeah. And, I've forgotten what the man's name was. It was manager of Penny's. And he had a little boy. I just loved that kid. And when I'd finish eating, he'd get through right quick and come in and sit down and let me tell him a story. So, what was that man's name? Anyway, he was going to have a big shindig at Christmas, a program of some sort of promotional thing. And he said, you know that coat you wanted, that you tried on down there, that is beautiful. Black coat with a big fur collar. He said, if you'll help me with the program and tell the children some stories, I'll just give you that coat. And I said, you got a deal. He gave me that coat.
Wear coats were not that easy to come by.
And that's the coat I wore in New York when we got married. Beautiful coat. I was expensive. But two or three times a year, Miss Schubert would have, let's see, she had the living room and then a big room at the end of there with tables and then another room that went all the way across the house with tables. She moved all those tables and all the furniture out of those three rooms and had a dance for everybody to eat down there.
Oh, never.
Ernest Brown came up there one time and I'd been home and he brought me home in time to go to the dance at Miss Schubert's. And we just had a ball. And if we danced on Saturday night, but if we danced at 2 o'clock, she didn't care. She danced right along. Wondered where her girl, she had two girls. One of them had a guy from South America and moved to South America. They came in every now and then.
That's a long way. As far away as Singapore in this day and age.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I don't know who did her cooking. She had people who did all delicious food. Oh, mercy.
Well, it sounded like she had quite a crew by the time
she did.
Three rooms full of people.
Those big tables. And I mean,
so dinner was like at 7 o'clock, and if everybody wanted to eat, came then, or 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, you could come earlier or later if you wanted to. Most everybody came within the hour that she had set.
Yeah.
And I think it was 67.
So you got. So it really ended up also being like a club because you'd see the same people.
Yeah, you usually sat the same place, you know, only move around once in a while. But that's when we'd take off with the principal and the coach after we had dinner. And then it would be a movie or a trip here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday afternoon, then we had no car. Marge and I had no car. They both had a car. So we'd get to all over the place on Sunday
afternoon. For a Sunday afternoon drive.
Up in North Carolina.
And,
it was a great place. And I enjoyed the teaching.
And how long did you do that?
Well, I taught there 2 whole years. And then we were married in December. Well, I taught 3 years.
At Port Jervis.
Port Jervis, New York.
Yeah. We drove through there.
Well, we went through when we went to Maine.
Yeah, did you?
We went through Port Jervis, yeah. And my Lord, I never thought I'd ever be back up here again.
Yeah.
But we went through Port Jervis. Yeah.
So then you got married the middle of the second year.
Yeah, December.
Did you have to quit teaching because you were married?
Well, we didn't announce it.
Oh.
Until school was out. Mr. Rubens knew it, everybody in the apartment house knew it, but nobody talked. But we moved on up the street into the padlock apartments, which was part of one block from where Marge and I lived. I read that apartment when I went back that fall to teach. And after we married, we lived in there.
How did you meet Daddy?
Well, I knew a boy at college, at Radford College, Neil Tarter. And he drove me crazy wanting me to go here and there, and I couldn't stand him. He had red hair, and I didn't like red hair. But he was a nice guy, and he was teaching there, did hot shop. And
in Bristol?
He was teaching in Bristol,
too?
He came there the same year I did. And he'd come around, you know, and he'd say, "Oh, I'm lonesome, homesick, let's go to the movies or something." Well, I started, you know, going out with him every now and then. Well, he didn't have a car, and Fred did. So he began, Fred bringing him over in the car, and then I decided I liked Fred better than I did him, so I put Margie with him.
Well, then you double date.
Yeah, we double date. And that went on for a couple of years before we were married.
So you must have met him pretty soon after you got to Bristol.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. But didn't just date him.
You had the coach on the street.
Well,
too.
The coach, and I also had an old bachelor that owned the, what?